What's up, everybody? This is Taryn the Hype Podcast with TaryntheHype.com, and my name is Taryn Schliebe. You can follow us on Twitter at Taryn the Hype, and you can follow me at Augie272. That's AUGIE272. Now, I am joined by my partner in crime, Matt Marquez.
What?
Too many whats.
Yeah, it was actually sounding pretty good.
Was it okay?
It was good.
I'll work on that.
And you can follow him on Twitter at
KrillinFlip337, and that's Krillin with a C.
Now, we also joined by our special guest from last time, on this last episode. His name is Tran Gutierrez.
Hello, everybody.
Oh, there's that sexy voice again.
Hello, everybody.
There you go.
Man, it's like deja vu around here. Just like from last week. Wink, wink.
Yeah, right. Last week, sure.
So how you guys doing? You feeling good? You ready to talk about the year? Year in review? 2013.
Yeah. It was a pretty crazy year last year.
Let's go ahead and move on to 2014.
Let's.
Like our ending slogan, enjoy it while it lasts.
Way to do the ending slogan at the beginning.
I had to ruin the spoiler.
That didn't last long at all.
Well, anyway, we're going to jump right into what's new with us. But before, since we're discussing the year in review, what's new with us is the old news. We're doing our resolutions for the year. I'm going to go ahead and start off and we'll go around the table just like normal.
Right on.
My resolutions for this year are to get a promotion at my job or get a new job. I actually want to release a game this year. I know I try to say that every year, but I actually bought a programming course, which is actually an online class I'll be working on. And you guys can look for some of my stuff soon. I'll post it on our website. You guys can try out some stuff and I'll give you some little prototypes to play with. And who knows? Maybe if you follow me, I'll give you a free game copy.
Right on.
Of course, there's other things as well. But
what were your... Do we want to go over resolutions from last year? Did you make resolutions last year?
My resolutions from last year, that I wanted to run a certain amount of races. I wanted to run 6.
Yeah.
I actually ended up running 7, I believe.
Good job.
If not 8. One of my resolutions was to beat Mario in a race because we always ended up finishing at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
But somehow his time was always faster than mine.
This just last shove him down right at the finish line.
This last race I beat him by like 4 seconds. So I was pretty happy about that. And also, one of my resolutions from last year was to get a house opposed to an apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And we did that.
You did that.
So I got a few of them. There were a few I didn't do. I wanted to learn Japanese, you know, lose more weight.
The perennials.
Yeah, those are the classics.
Right.
The kind of assumed targets and goals, dreams. So, I mean, those are kind of some of the things I worked on. How about you, Matt? Let's go around with you.
You know, I brought up the topic of last year's resolutions, and I don't remember what my last year's resolutions were.
There were one about playing games and getting a platinum trophy every year.
Was that my last year, or was that 2 years ago?
No, you try to increase from 2 years ago.
Oh,
so you try to make
okay.
it more higher.
Yeah, I still worked on, I think I got the same amount of platinums because I'm up to like 13 now. So I think mm-hmm. I got 6 this last year.
Cheater.
Wasn't cheating. I legitimately got them.
You legitimately got platinum trophies for games that you've already gotten a platinum trophy for.
There was only one that copied over.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Metal All-Stars. Gear Solid 3. No, I don't have the platinum for All-Stars. And that one you have to grind out anyways. There's no copying on trophies. Don't look at me like that.
I will look at you that way, please.
But I think...
But seriously, good job. I mean, that is quite a feat.
Thank you. I did finally pass you in trophy level.
Yep.
Last month.
Congrats.
The end of December. Just barely squeaked by you.
Yep.
But I think one of my resolutions was to play more games, like to finish more.
Mm-hmm.
Might have been
to follow through.
Because I end up starting a lot of games and then just kind of building a backlog and not going back for some reason. I don't know. I've done that for a really long time. So I feel like I played through quite a few more games. And that kind of ties into my big resolution for this year is I just want to kind of keep better track of what I'm playing and see how I'm kind of progressing through the year. How's that working out over there for you?
I just don't know what to do. I have this microphone in my hand and it's like, I don't.
It's like Talladega Nights. You don't know what to do with your
wrapping
hands.
Wrapping it around
exactly,
your head like it's a
yeah,
hat.
Pretty much. No, I'm just trying to figure out
for
a way
that hat you're
to make it kind of hang like that.
For yeah.
Does
that
change the sound at all?
Yeah. Makes you sound a little bit farther away because it's directional.
Yeah. For a minute there, I thought you were trying to, like, hang yourself. Like,
yeah, that's what I thought, too. I was like, dude, I'm sorry. I didn't realize my resolutions were so boring.
No. No, it was nothing like that. Consciously, anyways.
My other big resolution last year was I wanted to play online more and play with more people.
You know what?
That was my big resolution last year.
And tell us a little story about how it's going with you for maybe Terraria and people wanting to play online with you.
Okay, well, Terraria is a separate, complete issue. Let's go with, in general... I feel like I've opened up a little more in the last few months, but more so than like through the whole year, because there was a lot of times where I just don't really like playing with people in general, other than my friends. So I feel like with PS4's launching, I started playing online more for Killzone and doing that kind of stuff, which I enjoyed playing Killzone 2 online a long time ago.
That was a great game online.
But so we picked up Terraria because it finally released on PS3.
Or Terraria, sorry.
Whatever. I don't know how it's pronounced, but we'll pronounce it the way we pronounce it. So we've been, Taryn and I were playing it. It took us a while before we actually got to play it together, just because of scheduling and his work and my stuff going on. Mm-hmm. So we finally got to start playing it. And like the very first night we were creating a world, and I started accepting more people on friend requests that I don't necessarily know on PSN, just to kind of fill up my friends list so I can have more people to play with potentially.
As soon as I got my PS4, I started doing that. I opened it up to like, you send me an invite, I'll invite you.
Yeah. So I was doing pretty good, and I had a bunch of people that like live around me who I've been accepting friend requests. And then I got one that like this guy was playing Terraria, and I was like, okay, that's cool that he's playing. So I'm in a game with Taryn, and then I get a message, and he's like, hey, why don't you come join my game? And so it was like the generic friend invite, whatever, to join his game. So I sent him a message back, and I was like, hey, I'm not going to tonight because I'm playing with one of my friends, my real life friends, but maybe another time. So he was like, oh, no, come on. I can get you all the trophies, and I can get you lots of items and stuff. It'll be fun.
It's like, and come on, man. I can get this for you. Come on, bro. Let me in.
Like, it wasn't so much like, I don't know. It was just, like, creepy the way it was coming across. Like, just play with me. And I was like, no. The more you talk, the more I don't want to play with you tonight or ever. So I had to start, like, ducking him when I was going on. I bought Terraria on Vita when it came out a couple weeks later. Mm-hmm. And then
now, is that cross save or no?
Yes, it's cross save because it like uploads to a cloud and then you can download it to the other platform.
I have to pick it up for Vita, but
not, yeah, I recommend it. It's I have more fun with it on Vita just because it's portable and everything. So I ended up ducking him a whole bunch. I would sign out of my profile, so I was playing offline, still playing Terraria. Feel kind of bad about it. And then finally, after like 2 weeks, he got the Terraria Platinum and hasn't picked it up since. And now he's in Borderlands. Playing a crap ton of Borderlands. Every time I go on, he's a level 72.
Hey, there are people who just, that's all they want to do, is they want to just sit down and play one game.
Just grind the trophies.
Get every single possible thing done in that game. There's nothing else they can do. There's no other more fun factors to it. And then when that's happened, they move on to another game. Like, there are those people out there.
And there's nothing wrong with that.
That's great for them. And it's not like you and me where we just buy 50 games and then work on one and play halfway through and play 15 minutes.
I just don't like it when people try to pressure me into playing with them. Because, if I want to play with you, sure, I'll play if it's, just for fun or whatever. But then, Absolutely. Take a hint, buddy. I tell you I don't want to play right now. You can leave me alone, and I'll try again next time, And honestly, I probably would have played with him the next time I got on. But because he kept pestering me about it, I, made it a point that I did not want to play with him anymore.
Has that ever happened to you, Tran?
It happens all the time.
Give me an example.
I just, there's so many examples. I can't even pick just one.
All right,
well, my dad's like that. He plays one game. That's only because he gets like 3 games a year. But
yeah,
he plays it until there's nothing left to do with it.
Yeah, I mean, that's how it was when we were younger.
We used
too.
To play like that.
We didn't have the money or the but we had a lot of time to play games. We had money to buy new games. So, then we just got one. We played the hell out of those games.
Kingdom Hearts, man.
Yeah.
I put way too many hours into that first Kingdom Hearts, I'm playing the HD version, and it is amazing.
Way too many hours into every game that I bought when I was younger. I bought a lot of long games. Like, I played through, like, a series instead of just one game at a time. Like, Dino Crisis, like, Parasite Eve, like, both of them. I played through Final Fantasy VII a lot, and 8 and 9 and 10, and 1 and 2 and 3 first. All the Metal Gear Solid,
Those were good times. Lot of times.
That was a lot of good stuff. But anyway, now, Tran, what were some of your resolutions?
Let's see.
What were some things that you wanted to get done in 2013?
Well, I did want to get a new job, and I did.
Yay.
So, goodbye, good Enterprise.
Cheers.
I wanted to, wanted to start writing my novel again, or pick that whole deal back up.
How's that going? Have you started on it or no?
Yeah, no, I did. I'm probably about halfway through with it right now.
I know you had. I just wanted readers to hear.
Yeah.
I was trying to advertise it for you.
Yeah.
Are people who listen can read too?
Good.
I'd hope so because they read my reviews on websites.
Yeah, but I started doing that and I did a run with you and that wasn't necessarily a resolution.
We are going to talk about that soon.
It was something. and
sounds very positive.
I'm over a year into marriage and I weigh just about the same as I did then.
Congrats, man. Congrats. That's very rare.
So that is pretty impressive.
That's about all I have.
Those are like class.
That was kudos.
Yeah, well, I mean, since you mentioned it, let's jump right into that race. One of the things that we did this past year as a group was I really wanted you guys to go on a run with me because I was really enjoying them last year. And that was the very first race I did. It was the Gladiator Rock and Run by Nitro. And
American Gladiator Nitro.
American Gladiator Nitro, if you don't know him.
Just to specify.
Yeah, Dan Nitro.
Too specific, but go ahead.
And now I want to know what you guys thought about that, because that was your first race, Tran. Mm-hmm. Matt, that was your second race in the year.
But, Number two.
It was kind of a different style of race.
Yeah.
I mean, it wasn't as hardcore and pressuring as Spartan was. It was a little more laid back and different types of obstacles a little bit. Mm-hmm. What were your guys' impressions on that? Tran, you go first this time.
Well, it was new. I've been kind of trying to prepare myself with a little bit more cardio than I normally do. And that definitely saved me. But wasn't expecting to go up a whole mountain. So that was something different. But
straight up, sprint up those things like Last of the Mohicans. Just straight up.
Maybe you.
It really, and yeah, I know. It taught me a lot about incline. So been doing that a lot more now. But no, it was fun. It was good to get that first experience out of the way because there was definitely a lot of adrenaline involved.
Yeah.
But now that I've done something like that and I know I can do it, I know I'll probably be a lot more controlled the next time around.
So you will want to do another one?
Eventually, yeah.
Would you want to just do the same one or would you like to try another ones?
Probably either or. Variety. I'll definitely want to do that one again just to see if I can beat my old time. But, I mean, I'm going to do other ones too.
Absolutely. Well, I'll be there, my friend. How about you, Matt? What do you think about the Gladiator Rock and Run?
The Gladiator, if I take it just as itself, I liked it a lot. I thought it was really cool, really fun. The obstacles were challenging, but not like ridiculously over challenging. The top, yeah. The course itself felt pretty good. It felt pretty balanced between like flat running and doing the mountains and the hills and stuff for the most part. What?
Can you hear my breathing on the mic?
A little bit, but don't worry about it. Still working out the bugs. 4 episodes in.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
Still doesn't know what to do
The first two episodes we did over Skype, so this has been an improvement.
Yeah, this is a serious improvement for many reasons. But I really liked it. I can see why that race definitely pulled you in and made you want to do other runs because mm-hmm. it's like a good first run. Mm-hmm. If I compare it to the Spartan, I think I enjoyed the Spartan race more, and I don't mm-hmm. know if that's just because it was my first race with like the extra adrenaline or whatnot.
He's always enjoyed
I did
first
a
the
I had a horrible time, like length of time on the Spartan race by like an hour over what I ran at the
yeah. Your time for the Spartan, our time because we ran all together as a group, was about 2 hours and 14 minutes.
Yeah.
For the Gladiator Rock and Run,
it was like an hour and 12, hour and 20. So somewhere between an hour and 10, hour and 20.
You took almost like 50 minutes off your time, if not more. So, I mean, that's definitely an improvement. I mean, the races were, I think the Gladiator was a little bit shorter.
Yeah, it was 2K shorter because it was a 5 versus a 7.5, I think, because they stretched it last minute at the Spartan. Was it a 7?
The Gladiator Rock Run this past year, I believe, was a 6K.
Was it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was a 6.
The Spartan race was a 7.2K.
Yeah. Okay, I just remember it was over 7 on the Spartan.
So 7.2, isn't that
it? It was just because of the way the course was designed. They just wanted to give you a specific answer. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it was really supposed to be a 5K, but they made the course, like, loop around, and they wanted to add in obstacles at certain points. But where they had to put those obstacles, they had to make the course longer. So they made it, like, a 7.2, and that's what they called it. So,
I think overall I had more fun at the Spartan. I felt like I liked the obstacles better for some reason. I felt like I had a better time doing them. Like the balancing and the strength and everything was a lot better at the Spartan.
Now, do you think that was is because the obstacles were a lot more higher quality? Like, what you were doing was a little more like throwing the spear, and like the rope climb was a lot more intricate than just like, you know,
than just a
bar
rope.
And rope.
Yeah, I mean, that might be what it was, because like there was a lot of similarities in the obstacles that are between the two, and I felt like, yeah, it might have just been the quality of the equipment or something was better at the Spartan. Because like at the Spartan, the only one that I failed on was the spear throw, because you get one chance to throw a spear, and that was the only time I've ever picked up a friggin' spear. So of course I'm gonna fail.
And you don't like burpees, but man, you love doing them at the glider.
Gosh,
right?
Yeah, I must have, because I don't. I probably only did like two or three challenges that weren't like the, of course you can finish because all you have to do is like walk through a challenge.
Mm-hmm.
But like the balancing thing, I totally failed that at the Gladiator, but I rocked it at the Spartan. The monkey bars, I fell at like the third monkey bar at the Gladiator, but I was like skipping bars and everything.
Yeah, you did like this nice little jump. You skipped like two bars and like did a monkey jump.
To be fair, those bars were like really thick.
They were bigger, yeah.
And they rolled, so that didn't help either.
That didn't help, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it was, but like even the rope climb, like I couldn't make it up the rope at the Gladiator, but the Spartan, it took some time, but I got it.
Yeah, and I was bummed out about the Spartan race because I fell there, but I mean, I told you I couldn't get
it
a grip
your gloves.
Because I had my gloves on and we were in wet water before you climb up. So I'm definitely going to try this year coming up in 4 weeks and not wear my gloves during that rope climb. I'm excited about it. I've been really working on my arms this past year, but that's one thing. I've been working on my arms too much. I need to get back in touch with my legs before the race.
Don't skip leg day.
So Tran, Matt, the Survivor Mud Run is coming up soon. Would you guys be interested in doing that? There's a review about it on my website. You guys can check it out at tearingthehype.com. Survivor Mud Run. It's a very muddy race. Most mud I've ever had. Just standing in line to get your bib, I had mud up past my ankles. I mean, so you get muddy waiting in line before the race starts. It's great fun.
When is it?
It's March 1st.
March. So I'd be interested in it. I'm thinking about it because it's on Groupon right now.
For the next 24 hours, it's on Groupon for like $30.
Yeah.
I should be able to.
But normally it's like $50, mm-hmm. 54. But if you have Groupon right now, it's $20 or $30.
Yeah. I'm interested in it. I'll have to see what's going on.
That's
money wise and everything.
Just for fun run. Like, it is timed, of course. You get a medal, you get a shirt, blah, blah, you get a beer. So, I mean, you're pretty much paying for all that stuff for the $30. But, I mean, the race itself is, like, I think it might be in a different location this year. But for the time of the year it is, it's not too cold outside, not too hot. It's very cloudy weather. So, I mean, you're not burning in the sun. And it's just, there's so much mud. If you were, like, at the Gladiator Run and also the Spartan Run and everything, like, you feel like there was only the mud at the end. This one, there's mud every single step of the way. And you can kind of, like, get down and grungy and... You can see a picture of me on the wall over there with me at the mud run. And that one, I have mud all over my face and everything.
The mud isn't really what draws me. Like, it's cool getting all muddy and wet or whatever, but, like, just the physical endurance of it and running. And honestly, the thing I like the most is doing the obstacles. I could care less about the mud and getting wet and
the
stuff.
The Survivor Mud Run has no mountains, too. Yeah. So, I mean, you'll like that since you mentioned the mountains. I know you said you've been working on it, but...
I want mountains now.
The obstacles aren't as intricate. I mean... It is it's very cheap, but it's a lot of fun. That's all I can say. Go read my review online, and you'll get a more specific breakdown, because I wrote that review about a week after we ran it. So
cool.
All right.
So what's next on the list?
So next on the list, we're going to go back into 2013. We're going to hit 88 miles per hour and go back in time. Got to go back in time. No copyright, because I said different words. Whatever. So back in 2013, there are a few different things came out. You guys have any? I told you to think about this before we had the podcast. What were some things in 2013 that were great for you? Like, the first thing that comes to my mind when it comes to gaming is just The Last of Us. Like, cause that was such a great experience for me. Like, I sat down and played that game in very few sittings. Naughty Dog just knows their shit. Mm-hmm. They know what they're doing, story wise, you know, design wise, and also visually wise. And I can't wait for them to have a next gen game.
Mm-hmm. I was pleasantly surprised by how well that game lived up to the hype, just overall, between storyline, the gameplay elements, like everything was phenomenal in that game.
Speaking of living up to the hype, there's a review for The Last of Us on tearingthehype.com. Visit us now.
Nice. So, yeah, I mean, talk about games, probably like obviously the easiest big one is having the consoles launched last year. I mean, we've been waiting... it seems like forever since PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 launched. So it was really exciting getting to see the new hardware, getting to see all the new game designs and that kind of stuff that's coming out, and kind of to see what's going to be coming out, what we're going to be playing for the next 4 to 6 years, depending on how long everything holds out. So I think that was probably my highlight as far as gaming goes. But there was some really quality games that came out this past year too.
Yeah, there were some great things. I mean, it's hard, of course, thinking of them all right now. We don't have a list in front of us. We probably should have, but whatever, guys. We're going to have to deal with that.
There's always next time.
There were great things coming up in 2013, but I mean, one of the biggest things was looking forward to the future in 2013 because of the next generation of consoles, what's to be expected with that console series and lifetime, and just the things that are coming in the future. Was a lot of what happened in 2013. Mm-hmm. Knowing what's going to be coming soon was a big factor of 2013. And it's finally coming to life. It's here. 2014.
The future is now.
PS4 is launched. Xbox One is launched. The competition's going strong. And it's a really exciting time.
Yeah.
So
it's a brave new world.
It is a brave new world. Enjoy it while it lasts. Now, there are other things that happened in 2013 that are probably also going to be happening in 2014. Like the Call of Duty Battlefield competition. How do you think that's going to turn out this year?
I don't know. I mean, my money going into it would have been Battlefield was going to just rake Call of Duty over the coals, just because it seems like Call of Duty has been such a wash, rinse, and repeat mm-hmm. formula for the past 4 or 5 years now. And Battlefield, while they're on a more regular annualized schedule for releasing than they used to be, because they're just on number 4, all their technical issues have been really kind of biting them in the ass.
They just released a patch for that actually today. It actually came out yesterday, I mean. But it should be, they were still working on getting a fix like that. That's sort of one number one priority.
Yeah.
I know, I mean, of course, being on the press side of things or the customer side of things, it may not seem that way, but they are really working hard on it.
I'm sure there's tons of people working on this problem, but yeah.
It's very depressing because, I mean, this is what you do. Your profession, and you guys chose to release a project that's not finished just because of competition.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's Cinderella story all over again in the past from PS3 and Xbox and all other different types of examples. But
which brings up an interesting point that we'll segue. I don't know if you have it in your notes, but the games that got delayed last year, like Watch Dogs got delayed, would be probably the biggest.
Like The Last of Us? The Last Guardian. The Last Guardian.
Yeah, because that's never
that was announced before Uncharted 1 came out.
Right, the whole entire Uncharted series has come out before that game has been released.
Bad news bears.
It's from the people who made Ico and Shadow of the Colossus. You were supposed to be like this boy who has this weird griffin bird dog thing that follows them around.
Yeah, you have to get.
And that's like all I really know about it. It looks interesting, but supposedly it's still in development. So
whatever.
It should be interesting. But there's a lot of games that have been getting delayed recently. And I say go for it. I mean, I'd rather have a game that comes out and that's polished and works like it's supposed to, as opposed to getting something that hits the specific release date. As long as it doesn't go into a perpetual of, oh, we're releasing it here. Oh, no, we're going to push it back. And then it comes out like Duke Nukem, where it comes out like 5 years after it was supposed to, 10 years
Great
after.
Great example.
And then it just sucks because it spent so much time in development that it was never going to actually work.
Duke Nukem was a special case, though, because people knew it was going to be cheesy and they knew it was going to be bad, but they honestly didn't think it was going to be that bad. They had their expectations
low. There's a difference between being cheesy bad on purpose and cheesy bad unintentionally, and that's where it fell. It wasn't trying to be cheesy and bad as it was.
They did what they could with it, but honestly, what the final product was not what it even should have been close to.
Right.
And even though the bar was set low, that's not what happened. Now, Tran, I know you have a different opinion. Maybe sometimes I'm not sure if you do or not about having to wait so long for games. I know you had to wait a long time for Splinter Cell Conviction.
I did have to wait quite some time for that.
That did get pushed back a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. But I kind of agree. If it's something that's going to, sorry, the wife is calling.
How dare she? She ever listened to my episode, then we'll have another viewer or listener, and she'll know what happened.
No, I know. But honestly, I'd rather wait for it to be a quality thing, because there's so many things that have been rushed. You can look at movies and music, and it's the same thing all around. You know.
Yeah.
Just take time and get it right.
That's
right.
A great point. Even I mean, I know we're always talking about games, but I even think about with movies as well and with music. Like, I mean, all these people are artists. All these people are professionals in what they're doing. We want them to act like professionals, and
we want their product to come out as professional and not
exactly. We want to be like a professional item and a quality product, not just a product that someone could have made in their basement. You know,
right.
Now, something else that I wanted to come back to was that we kind of touched on this a little bit, was games that are, we're having a nice little transition here from having just the same old IPs, the same old games, same old movies just being remade, mm-hmm. As new things or just sequels. And we're actually getting away from that a little bit coming up in 2014 with a lot of new IPs, new games, new movies, you know, new artists for CDs. And honestly, when it comes to races, new types of mud runs, people are trying to really pushing the bar and not just doing the same old thing, changing small things. Besides, of course, Madden. So, I mean, how do you guys feel about...
Under the bus.
Yeah, Madden, all the sports games, EA, good job. You're a moneymaker. But still, I mean, how do you guys feel about... Would you rather have the same thing, just upgraded year after year? Or would you rather have someone who's trying to push the boundaries new every few years? Trying to go first this time.
It depends on how good they are to begin with. Like, there are bands...
So say it's a reputable company, like a reputable band, but they haven't made anything for a few years, and they normally put out something every year, and their music's been getting just okay every year. Would you rather them wait a few years and make something really good?
Well, I had a band, Portugal the Man. They used to release an album every year, and every year it was good. It wasn't, like, the best, but then they actually took 2 years off and released another album, and it actually sucked. So I don't really know. Like, Radiohead takes like 3 years between each album, but each album's awesome. So
yeah, but now with Radiohead, since you use them for example, how much do you like them changing what they're making? Like, do you like it to be, I love this CD, I hope the next CD is exactly like this, or do you want their next CD to take, I mean, no matter how long it takes, you want it to be different?
Well, it's the same with music or movies. You want to do something different every time. Like, it's good example. Well, Radiohead, yeah. They do a different thing with each album. Think about all the diehards you watched. Did they ever really do anything truly different? Like, especially between those last two, like, it's kind of the same thing, you know? I would say diehards 1 through 3 weren't so bad, but...
Weren't so bad, how dare you?
Well, okay, I mean, no, I'm not talking about Die Hard 1, but... Like Die Hard 2 and Die Hard 3.
Oh, I said my name was right. Zeus, not Hey Zeus. I was saying Hey Zeus. How can you top that? I mean, that's quality product all over it.
Yeah.
Samuel Jackson. Shock ate me.
But I mean, like...
One of the things you can kind of run into a problem would be like Linkin Park, where they released a couple albums pretty close together that were very similar and could have honestly been like one album between Meteora and Paper. What's the first one? Hybrid Theory. Thank you. I mean, that literally could have been album one, album two for like a front side, back side. Like, they fit really well together. They took time off, kind of reinvented themselves and put out Minutes to Midnight, which was really good on its own, but it's not the same as their old stuff.
Wasn't the same band.
Yeah. They wanted to do something different, and I, you know, applaud anyone who wants to try something different and they can pull it off. But as a fan of the original stuff, you want them to stay somewhat true and somewhat the same to what they put out before, if it's under the same name.
Yeah. What I appreciate about them though specifically is that they, it was very obvious for that CD, Minutes to Midnight, as well as the next one. Mm-hmm. And then when they realized that, I mean, you can definitely tell in their music that their most recent CD is coming back to they originally were. Mm-hmm. And I really appreciate that. And I still like them. They're one of my favorite bands.
I don't care what you guys
say out there.
A good movie example of doing the same thing?
Well, I just wanted your particular take on this coming year, because, I mean, seeing that for a lot of movies, I mean, we always have our new comic book spinoffs. This person getting their own movie out of the X-Men shows. I mean, we always have new movies, which are like trying to try something different or a different type of perspective on a scene. I mean, what would you rather have? The same movie sequel after year if it's a good movie or whatever? Or would you rather have that same company trying something new? Movies are kind of hard because there are so many movies coming out.
to kind of combat like the comic theme, like it's very in right now for all the comic book movies because Marvel has done so well with starting with Iron Man and having one shared universe. I think that is amazing that they've been able to pull off as much as they have.
Mm-hmm.
Personally, I'm excited for the amount. Like, yeah, there's another comic book movie coming out this summer. There's another one the next summer. But it's characters that I think are going to be interesting and people who don't normally always get the spotlight. Like, kind of a bad example, but Ant-Man is going to be getting a movie. Doctor Strange is going to be getting a movie. Two characters that are...
Ooh, Doctor Strange, that's scary.
It could be good, though.
No, I mean, it's intriguing. It depends on who does it.
Right.
But that's scary.
I guess
that's
the primary question breaks down to is quality over quantity. Which one would you rather have?
Well, quality. Like
quality, exactly.
Christopher Nolan does a movie like once every 3 or 4 years, and while you know The Dark Knight Rises was not that great, you know, like his actual original movies that he does are really good.
Mm-hmm.
I take that any day over a crappy Michael Bay movie being released every year.
I mean
Transformers 5, 6, 7, and 8, you know, but
don't talk about Transformers, such a sore spot.
Or Hangovers, me. You know, 2 and 3 and
Transformers
is
one of my first reviews.
I had so much high hopes for Transformers. That series should have been so much better than it was, and the fact that Michael Bay is still
oh my gosh, did you see his walk off on CES?
Yeah,
that was so embarrassing. I felt
bad super
for him.
Bad for him.
I was like, that's so
that
embarrassing.
Awful.
I mean, it's clear that he was not like...
He went backstage and jumped onto a pile of cash to feel better.
This is true.
And I
he
don't
no
really
doubt
feel that bad for him.
I don't feel... Yeah. But I mean, it is pretty awkward.
Yeah, public speaking is terrible.
I love how the guy finished it off. He's like, thanks again, Michael. I'm like, it was perfect. I was like, I hope
thanks
he says something
for
about it. And he totally did. It made my day. All right, well... segue, jumping right into CES. I actually had some questions going into the future. I mean, we have... great things in the past. 2013 held some great changes. 2014 is going to be a lot better. And what's coming up in the future/present, past, whatever. It's in
what's coming up in some
2014.
Point in
it happened in 2014. CES just recently happened. Now, there are a lot of things discussed at CES. One thing when it comes to gaming is VR, virtual reality. How do you guys feel about virtual reality in games? Would you think it's another fad like, you know, 3D and motion controls? Or do you think it's going to be something that we're actually going to jump into? It's for a lot of mixed opinions. I'm going to let you think about yours because I know you might have a little bit more. But,
go,
Tran,
yeah, go
I know
ahead.
You haven't been following CS as much. So you're going to go from the unhyped opinion because this is tearing the hype. What would you say about if coming up in the future, 2014, we start putting on headsets to have virtual reality playing games?
Does it like link up with your... brain and
links up with Skynet,
latch on to your cerebral cortex.
Well, since you are using the PS4, it will be Skynet. Yes. Unfortunately, if you're
but no, I mean, what's the full effect of it? Are you actually like? Are
okay.
You still going to be using a controller?
You will be able to look around.
All right. So, let's give you some.
That's it.
We'll give you.
Is it literally like putting on a headset and you're in the environment?
So, like,
is that what they're trying to do?
The person, one company who's trying to really push VR headsets is Oculus. That one of the main people who's behind it is John Carmack, who pioneered Doom and Quake back in the day. So like basically revolutionized first person shooters, is trying to revolutionize VR.
Mm-hmm.
So the Oculus headset is it's basically looks like a pair of goggles that you can put on your eyes, and it has two separate images going to each eye. So it simulates a 3D effect. So as you're moving around the environment, you can see everything as it's coming closer or farther away from you. And it also has tech in it, so it can track your head movement, so you can like move your head around left to right, up and down. With the newest prototype that they had at CES, they had a camera tracking technology on it. So like you could lean to the left and to the right, or squat down, poke up, and that kind of stuff.
I already don't like it.
And then there's a lot of other technology that kind of goes along with it, be it for controllers or omnidirectional treadmills to move around. So there's a lot riding on this VR.
So Trent, tell me why you don't like that idea.
It's just creepy. It's just creepy. No, I mean, maybe it'll take off. Maybe it'll be huge. Time has shown that video gaming at its core is somebody just sitting on their butt in front of a TV with a controller. They did the motion stuff.
Oh, yeah, give me some. Yeah.
They did the motion stuff and the Wii Move and, you know, whatnot. And that stuff is fine. It has its place. But at the end of the day, video gaming is somebody sitting on their butt with a controller in their hand, staring at a TV screen.
It's a very passive hobby.
Exactly. And you just need to keep making good games. You know, that's really just my take on it. I mean, having all these little fancy bells and whistles and things.
There was an article about like how you could tell if you're becoming an old gamer. And it was like, whenever I just hear the word peripheral, I get exhausted.
That's terrible because it sounds true.
But I mean, you have an excellent point, and that's true. I mean, that's what gaming is. Is it? I mean, it's not what it is per se, but I mean, that's what the history has been. That's what the current has been, and that's what people have proven that that's what they want. Is that they want to sit down and enjoy
a
game controller.
It's a time-proven formula. That's what people want. Exactly. I mean,
they're finding ways to make video gaming cost you something because gaming, the industry itself, is having a hard time with, you know, like you guys always talk about these like smaller games that you can get off of Steam and stuff, and I'm sure that's taking away from, you know, people, you know, buying games like Call of Duty and things like that, and they're finding new ways for you to spend money on it. It's smart.
That's a fair assessment.
Yeah, that's very true too.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's exactly what the PlayStation Move was when it came out a few years
back. The only
that's
successful
exactly
motion
what it
controller.
Was. Okay. If you say so.
I do.
But
well, I mean, what about you, Matt? What's your vision of VR? We're going to move on soon.
It's a very cautiously optimistic for it. Like, as a growing up as a gamer, it's always been the dream of being in a VR situation, or, you know, the countless anime that I've seen or movies where it's like you're inside the video game. It's part of, like, it's a more like visceral and realistic experience, more than just staring at a screen that's, you know,
like
4 feet in front of you or 10 feet ahead of you.
Such real graphics now. I'm not sure if you guys ever remember a documentary with Sinbad called The First Kid.
documentary.
It's about the life of a child in the White House. No, anyway, it's a movie with Sinbad and this kid in one of the scenes. He runs off to the mall and like they're looking for him in the mall, but they can't find him because he's in one of those virtual reality
VR
things.
Headset,
and then they put him in the booth and it's like stick figures that are like graphics. Mm-hmm. I was like, man, that's so bad. VR is never going to happen. And I mean, I can see.
But it's always been the dream, though, of like that would be so amazing if that was, you know, in your house one day.
And they've had it at GDC where it's one of those giant metal cage balls. So when you walk, you actually walks in the game. But the thing with that is, I mean, you're walking up in real life and the game you're walking forward. So again, it still didn't work there. But
yeah, but I mean
they've always been trying to do it. They've always been trying to make a breakthrough. And
I would like them to make it work. And I'm very interested to see how Oculus does. I think that they're probably, if they make it, that's going to set the tone for if people want VR. Because if they can't make it with as much good technology and as much time and research as they're putting into this thing, if it's not going to make it, I don't think it will ever hit mainstream.
See, I agree with you in a sense, but I have a kind of a different perspective. Like, what is it that I think VR is? There is a chance for it. There always will be a chance, but it's only going to be the most exclusive, expensive audiences to where you're going to need a high class rig to actually have a good experience in VR.
I wouldn't call that as being like successful though. If it's only going to be the upper echelon of people actually experiencing it,
only people actually be able to experience it properly is what I mean. Like, not only people being successful, but the only way you could really experience VR and it being in the video game is where if you have TVs all around you, you step into a room where when you walk in real life, it walks too. You don't have to put anything on. You have to attach anything to your body.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the true experience that people want when it comes to virtual reality.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's not going to happen unless you have the most expensive setup in the world.
Yeah. So I don't know. I'm very interested. I'm definitely paying attention to it, especially this year with a big push. I paid attention to 3D a couple years ago when it was a big push at CES, which ended up just kind of falling flat, which, I mean, the big issue was having to wear glasses, which I always thought was going to be the sticking point.
was it Killzone? I think it was Killzone. I played Killzone with the Move controller in 3D and the gun peripheral. Yeah. And that was a really fun experience, but like, I still didn't feel like I was there.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, everything looked amazing because there was the depth perception and it helped me aim, but I still didn't feel like I was actually in the game.
I think that's actually where like the VR headsets are going to come in if they're able to track your motion and having it so it basically blocks out everything other than what you're supposed to be seeing for the game. I mean, that'll make a huge difference just right there. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how that goes. I mean, the Oculus has been in development more or less for the past 2 or 3 years, at least. Yeah. They're definitely taking their time with it, and it'll be interesting to see next year where VR is at.
Now, quick little question. How do you feel about just these are quick fire shoots, all right? So quick fire, just going to say, how do you feel about it? Good, bad, I don't care.
I don't care.
Whatever, okay. All right, so ready, Tran, we're going to go with you, and we're going to go backwards with the next one. All right? All right.
Sounds good.
4K resolution TVs.
What is that?
4,000 resolution for this resolution.
So the TVs are getting bumped up from a 1920 by 1080 to a 4K by some.
So you know how we have 720, 1080p?
Right.
That's the next one. It's 4,000. So imagine how it goes to be if we do 1080 right now.
I feel like I can already see too many people's facial blemishes as it is. So I don't want to see anymore. Yeah.
That sounds like you don't care.
I don't care. I mean, my eyes are only getting worse. Why do I care if the TV's getting better?
You, Matt.
As someone who's in the like media industry, I think it's pretty cool based on the fact that you can do a lot more with it. But that being said, I don't think it's necessary. I agree with Tran. I don't know that there's going to be that much of a difference that we need a 4K display unless you're using it to do other things. Okay. Yeah.
No, that's good.
That and it's ridiculously overpriced at the moment, and I still don't understand why it's called 4K when.
Okay.
It's yeah. Anyways,
right. Is it actually for
The way that they list the numbers is different than because like all right, so 1080, you know it as 1080, but it's 1920 by 1080 on the pixel count. Let's give a
breakdown for audiences.
Okay. Yeah.
We'll give people who don't know, people who do know for tearing the hype.
Okay, so when you're looking at the pixel resolution, it's the number of pixels on the screen. It's 1920 across by 1080 down. So your numbers that you've always been talking about have always been the vertical numbers, being the 1080 or the 720 or 480. With 4K, the 4K number is actually the across, and it's like 4. I don't remember the exact resolution. I should. It's like 4 something across, and like it's either just under 3 or just barely over 3,000 down. So I don't understand why they're calling it 4K when, like, all along it's always been the second number that they call. I guess just because it sounds better calling it 4K as opposed to 2.5K.
Right.
But
it sounds like a New Year's resolution that's about to go bad.
Yeah. So I don't know. That's the one thing that bugs me with 4K, and it's a stupid thing to hung up on.
It's a bad name. There's always bad names in that company. But all right, back to quickfire. All right, Matt, you're first this time. Since we're talking about TVs, curved TVs.
Don't care.
Tran?
Don't care.
Hey.
For it to be big enough to matter, it would have to be gigantic. And
I actually hate the idea because I have a lot of instances where I'm in my house at home and I'm trying to watch TV from like the kitchen or somewhere else in the room.
Mm-hmm.
If it's curved, I'm not going to be able to see that angle of the TV.
Yeah, I mean, it's not like a huge curve. It would have to be a pretty big screen that big that you wouldn't be able to see it from your living room. But
it's like from a 180-degree TV
It seems unnecessary for the size of TVs that are in the house. It makes sense as a movie theater screen. But
all right, so speaking of which, then.
And these are horrible quickfires.
What's up?
Sorry.
All right, back to you, Tran. Curved phones.
No.
I think it could be good because it'll fit in your hand a lot better than a squared off shape phone would. Just because it'll be more
fit
natural.
In my pocket weird.
True.
Don't care. As long as it's a good product and I can still use it easily, I don't care.
Yeah.
All right. Now back to you, Matt.
Yes.
The sectional computer.
The sectional computer?
Or the
Pokemon
computer.
Are you talking about the Razer computer?
Mm-hmm.
I think it can be really cool. I think that's more of a higher market that's not going to be really for the mainstream people. So I think it's a cool in theory, but I don't think it's a good product in general.
Okay. And Tran, so what that is, it's a computer, like the desktop computer, that you have different components like a better graphics card or a cheaper graphics card, better hard drive, cheaper hard drive. And it's all just external. So it's like a plug and play. You just plug it into it and it's part of it, or you can take it off and switch it out. Kind of like when you have Legos and you connect them all together, you can just take out parts and put new parts in, but it's a full computer and it runs no matter what. What do you think about that? Care, don't care, don't know.
If they could do that with a laptop, that'd be cool.
That would actually be very interesting for a laptop, yeah.
But not a desktop. A desktop already kind of feels like that anyways.
That, here's a picture of it. So it's all like segmented and it's easy to get to and very easy to replace. It's supposed to be a lot more user-friendly. But I think once you get to the price point of everything that it's going to cost, it's going to be, it's going to end up being a useless to everybody else.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. All right, moving down the quickfire. Back to you, Tran. We're starting off with you. Directional sound projectors. So what it is this is a speaker, like a surround sound that's designed for playing multiplayer games. It hasn't actually had a publisher yet, but it's where you say if I'm sitting on the couch and you're sitting on the same couch, these directional speakers would be on the side of your TV, and I could set one for me and set one for you. So if I'm standing like 10 feet away from the TV, you can't hear anything. But I'm sitting in that seat I designed it for, you hear surround sound. And if you're sitting next to me, your speakers, you hear only things that are meant for player two on surround sound. So it's kind of like sectioning off what you hear, surround sound, and you can't hear anywhere else. So it doesn't bother anyone else. What do you think about that?
I think that would be designed for a family that doesn't talk to each other or do anything with each other while they're in the same room. So I am not for that. If it's for gaming, maybe. But, I mean, even in a game, like, it's not like playing Call of Duty two-player. It needs to be, you know, you need to have two separate speakers for that. So, no. Yeah,
that's a good point.
I think it's dumb.
I think that one of the things they're trying to incorporate is that way you could have, like, dual output audio. So, but if some, like, you're different parts of the mission and you're playing together, like saying you could be, all right, you're going to do this while I do this, and the people who are giving you the radio transmissions can talk to you and talk to you at the same time you're playing in the same room. The only problem with that is that we're actually getting away from local multiplayer. Right. So, I mean, it's kind of going to a dead market. It's really cool technology. I'm not going to lie. But, I mean, we already kind of have that with the PlayStation 4 and Xbox One where you can plug in headphones to your controller. You don't really need those speakers. So I thought it was kind of dead technology. It was really cool, though. Mm-hmm. What about you, man?
Yeah, I'd have to agree. I think it's a weird item. From like a technology standpoint, it's pretty cool just being able to like isolate the sound to a specific area of a room.
That's the word I was looking for. Which cone of silence.
Could be, yeah, exactly. I mean, like that could be kind of cool if you're trying to like be quiet around other people in your house and kind of trying to be more courteous. But on the whole, I'd rather just wear a pair of headphones and not have to worry about it. And like Tran said, it doesn't matter if I hear what you're doing when I'm playing a multiplayer game with you because we're playing together or we're in the same room anyways. Like, yeah, a better technology was the simul view where they had the same, you could see two different screens when you were wearing 3D glasses for multiplayer games.
I remember that.
From a couple years ago.
That was our quickfire. How do you guys like it?
I like the quickfire. I need to work on making them quicker, though.
Yeah. Yeah, not bad for our first time.
But they're quick enough. We know the point is to make it short.
Okay. Better than having that one, like the first one being a 15-minute conversation we didn't intend it to be. I mean, we don't need to get hooked up on too much of these things. But moving on into things that are coming soon, we're going to go specifically on to games, okay? And then we're going to get down to kind of our topic of the week, which is a surprise. All right, guys. So I'm going to go through a list of games that I'm not sure if you're aware of. Tran will explain for you if you don't know of them. Matt, I'm pretty sure you are aware of what they are. I know what they are. Tell me
I
if
would
you.
I hope you would know what they are since you wrote the list.
Tell me about this, Matt.
Interesting.
All right. So first off, Tran, I'm going to go to you again. We'll go back and forth.
That's fine.
Tran, there's a game coming out soon called Dying Light. Now, what this is, it's a kind of like a parkour game where you can run and jump and drop kicks and stuff. You can free run on walls and jump on top of buildings and stuff, climb cars, and you can kind of run wherever you want. It's first person. But it's in a world where there's a zombie apocalypse going on. And you need to kind of survive, get materials, you know, go do quests and survive the zombie apocalypse. How do you feel about that? Being able to do parkour and fight zombies.
What's that other game that Mirror's they Edge. Had?
Is it Mirror's Edge?
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it like that but with zombies?
It is exactly like that. That's what they're kind of advertising it as.
Then no.
Really? Why?
Really?
Because I'm always really harsh when it comes to first-person games. I'm just not a big fan. Mm. But
that's all you ever want to play.
What?
Like Call of Duty. Yells.
But I usually like to play them. Well, yeah, I guess that's it. I'm more a fan of like if I can actually see my character. But I prefer that anyways. But I guess I don't know. That's old school deal. But no, I think I just don't think it's a good idea. No, I think for zombie games there needs to be more to it than just parkour.
Parkour zombie.
So do you, Matt, what do you think of Dying Light?
From the brief trailer gameplay, supposed gameplay that I've seen, it looks interesting. We'll see how it turns out. Hopefully they'll bring it to E3 this year. I really had high hopes for, because the other game, like, it looks a lot like Mirror's Edge, but it also has a lot of Dead Island feel to it, where it's first person going around kind of
and you
killing
played
zombies
Dead Island.
And
you thought
stuff.
It was hilarious.
Dead Island was fun. Yeah.
So imagine Dead Island with Mirror's Edge. That's what it's going to be like.
But did either of you like Mirror's Edge? I never played
it. I loved it.
I really liked it.
I don't remember I liked either it a of lot. You playing it.
It was... It's a brand... That's one of those things. It was one of those brand new IPs that a company did the same thing over and over every year. And they tried something new. Some people loved it. Some people didn't give it a shot. Some people hated it. But honestly, it got enough people to love it over the years after time went by. They actually sold quite a bit of copies. And they're going to make a sequel.
I don't know if it sold enough copies, but they're...
I mean, over the years, over the years,
which I think is
quite a bit
fantastic.
All right, so moving on, Matt, we're gonna start with you.
Okay,
Infamous Second Son.
This game looks interesting. I really enjoyed. I think I like the first one more than I like the second one. I like the city and the environment a little bit better for the second one, but I enjoy the story and the powers more in the first one.
Okay, let me pause you real fast. So for our listeners and for Tran, if you're not aware, I mean, you know what Infamous is, but I'm still going to tell our listeners. Infamous is a game about where you are this bike carrier and you carry, you're given this this package to carry. And as going off and destroying the entire city, blah, blah, blah.
You're a guy who gets electric superpowers.
You get superpowers and then that's the first game. Second game, you go to a different city. There's a giant monster facing you. Something happens. I'm not going to tell you the ending. This third one is actually way in the future after other people start getting powers too.
It takes place after the second one. So like the world is a lot more harsh and not as accepting of people with powers, which I think is actually a really cool premise because if people came out and were having superpowers, I'm pretty sure the government would be cracking down and trying to regulate it as much as possible.
Because we need to know who they are. And more importantly, we need to know what they can do.
Damn it,
it's,
I love you.
It's sad, but it's true. That's exactly what would happen, as terrible as it is. I mean, but anyways, the game looks really good. I'm very excited. It's only the third Infamous game.
It is.
So I'm really looking forward to it, and the fact that it's on PlayStation 4 means it's going to be a very big open city with hopefully lots of stuff to do in it.
Exactly.
And the... Okay, go ahead. Yeah.
No, keep going.
I was going to say...
I was just agreeing looking at
I'm also interested to see what all power sets are going to become available, because one of Delson's abilities is that he can absorb other people's abilities, kind of like Rogue.
They've
almost
hinted at it a little bit, but they haven't like told you everything that's going to be in the game. So.
Right, because the only powers that they've revealed so far are smoke powers, which like you can create some like smoke construct things like chains and stuff to beat the crap out of people, or you can like float around as smoke, which sounds really lame, but it's good when it's in practice. And then in Neon, there's a Neon power, which I don't fully understand, but it's almost like the only thing I've seen from is kind of like
it's
a
the
fast
power,
running ability.
It's, kind of like it's the power of the Plymouth Neon.
Yeah,
it's
I think kind that's of like a, it's just for you, Tran.
It's kind of like a more mature version of Mario's star power.
Yeah.
To where like he absorbs that neon from the environments around him, but he comes like a kind of a supercharged power version of himself, kind of like the Flash.
Yeah.
He moves faster and it's
I like the way it looks, but quick. I don't know anything about what the power actually does. So
and that's Sucker Punch does a great job of telling you what the game's gonna be in it, but not giving you more details. But we're looking forward to that game. So now moving on, back to Matt.
What? No, Tran didn't talk about Infamous. Did you have anything you want to say about it? Did you like the first two?
These are still quick fires, too.
Well, I do love anything involving somebody having the power to, like, manipulate electricity. So, because I was always a big Electro fan in Spider-Man. But
can't wait for that movie.
Yeah. We should have talked about movies a little more this time. Because I would love to get into talking about Spider-Man.
Maybe we'll do it soon.
Okay. Maybe next time we'll
There's more time
movies.
In 2014, not just this podcast.
So you say.
Hey, don't do that this time. You're going to kill me. I remember that was one of my resolutions for last year was to make more of the website, get my website up and going.
Okay. So anyways, go ahead. Sorry.
Don't kill me, man.
I think the
don't
premise...
Don't haze me, bro.
I think the premise sounds good. I already get the whole X-Men vibe, so I hope it's at least it has something new to add to that whole premise. So, yeah, we'll see.
All right, we're actually running a little low on time here, guys. So I'm going to skip a few of these that we're going to talk about.
Go for it.
Actually, I'm just skip all those. We'll talk about the coming soon games a little bit later. We're running a little low on time. One thing I really want to talk about, guys, was predictions that you had for 2014. I'm actually going to go around the table. And we're going to see. I want you to give me a prediction in games, movies, music, races, things that you think you'd like to see incorporated or things that you're excited about, or also like guesses from what's going to happen this year. And as Tran has vigorously explained to me without making any noises, I'm going to start with Matt.
Oh, great. I thought he was raising his hand because he wanted to go first.
DuckTales, the live action movie.
Oh, geez. That would be interesting. Out of left field.
I don't know where that came from, so don't even ask me.
I don't know. I think. I don't know.
So, is there anything with the PlayStation you would like to see, or a game that you'd like to see them make, or a movie that you've been waiting for that you would like to see come out? A band that you'd like to see start up again?
Yeah, I don't know. Out of the things that I know that are coming out this year, I think, since we didn't get time to talk about it, I think Spider-Man is going to not meet a lot of people's expectations. I don't think it's even going to come close.
One at a time. Come back around.
Okay, fair enough.
So Spider-Man is going to be bad.
I don't think it's going to be bad. I think I'm going to like it, but I think as a whole, people are not going to like that movie.
So if you can hear some clicking in paperwork, that's because I'm passing around a paper. What? You're going to write down what your predictions are, and we're going to check on it at the end of the year. This is going to be legitimate. Tran, what's a prediction for you?
Oof. Jeez.
Do you want me to go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. So think about that. I think that the next Metal Gear Solid game... Mm-hmm. is not going to sell that well.
Really?
Yeah.
Now, that's interesting because technically the next Metal Gear Solid game is a prologue to the real Metal Gear Solid game.
I don't think the real Metal Gear Solid game is going to sell
well.
You think
Metal Gear Solid 5 is not going to sell well?
Yes.
Okay, because they don't have a release date for that yet.
If it comes out on Christmas of this year, I'm saying.
Okay. Do you think after
that'll be my first prediction? Okay, it's going to come out this year.
I just want to make sure that we get the prediction right.
Yes.
Do you think that people aren't going to be
just write all of our
into it?
A better handwriting.
Yeah, I'll keep track of it. Do you think people aren't going to like it because after right, they play
let me
through,
change this then. I think that people are going to buy the prologue. It's going to sell better than 5.
Okay,
that's my prediction then.
Okay.
Damn. All right, Tran. What's your first prediction? Remember, we have 3. This could be anything, even in life.
Whew. So hard to predict.
Like, are you going to predict I'm going to make the next Minecraft and become a billionaire? You want to say yes.
I predict that Taryn will make the next Minecraft.
You're going to get wrong on that one.
Are you sure? Is that your final answer?
And he'll become a $10,000 heir.
Heir? Am I going to die? Is someone I know going to die and make the best game?
$10,000 heir.
It's 10,000 error. My bad.
He meant error.
English.
I'm gonna spend $10,000. It was a bad idea.
We'll make. All right. This should be interesting.
Okay. I hope you're right. Kind of. I think.
Matt kind of gets. You know, that's for some reason the only movie I can think of that's coming out this year.
Winter Soldier. Captain America's next movie.
I can guarantee you that will not be that great. predict that the highest grossing movie of this year will have no higher than a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Really?
Wow, that's pretty interesting.
That's a pretty interesting.
So the highest grossing movies have less than a 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Why not?
That's actually pretty bold.
That is. Because now, yeah, now that I think about it, I can't think of too many movies that are coming out this year.
I know. I can just guarantee you whichever one makes the most money is going
to suck. We wouldn't talk about a lot, but I mean, since you're in review, it was kind of a shorter podcast. We can wrap it up. All right, so Tran, that was good. Do you want to go ahead and give us your second one too? Since you were already on, you can come back to me and then back to Matt.
The UFC came out with a fight pass. And I personally like it.
What is this fight pass?
Oh, okay. So for those of you who don't know, it's a digital subscription to the UFC.
Like the SmackDown channel or the wrestling channel?
Possibly. I'm not sure.
Did you hear that the WWE made its own channel?
That could be why the UFC...
Well, it's its own subscription-based streaming. What?
I never understood the fascination with wrestling. I've never enjoyed it.
I was into it for quite a bit.
You would have had to... You know, I'll be fair...
This is a bad idea to get into this right now.
Yeah. No. Okay. I won't go too into detail, but say this.
I have a lot to say.
To be fair, it is something I feel like if you don't get exposed to it when you're younger, you will never get it when you're older. I really feel like this that's a thing. Because I watched wrestling when I was younger. I'm not a wrestling fan by any means now, but I have an appreciation for it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Because I watched it when I was
younger. I mean, I watched it when I was middle school, a little bit before that, a little bit after. And watching that, like, and looking at all the things that are going to be coming with the subscription, I actually got a little excited about it. And I don't even care about it anymore. I worked on the SmackDown games. I'm like, God, this is so lame now. But, like, I still had fun, and it brought back memories to me. I think that might be what it is that they offer you every SmackDown pay-per-view event that ever was with the subscription. Yeah. And...
What was your prediction with the MMA stuff?
Well, you were mentioning UFC tickets. Sorry.
UFC, yeah.
I think that it will be not as successful as they're hoping. I really, because it seems like a lot of people already have
we need a little more specific. So you think it's going to bomb? You think it's just going to sell well? Or
I think not successful is pretty.
I think it will limp in the first year.
Okay.
It will improve long in this first year. I mean, it's $10 a month, and I will spend that gladly on MMA, but it seems like a lot of people are already taking issue with it.
Now, how is that different than, like, just paying for the pay-per-view stuff?
You get access to the fight library, and then because they're doing so many cards around the world and so many international cards, it's giving the hardcore fans access to those fights because those won't be airing on TV or on pay-per-view.
Okay.
So that's the benefit there.
All right, I can see why. Okay. Okay. All right, what's your prediction number two?
My prediction number two is that going to be Borderlands 2 for Vita will come out this year. There's going to be a bundle for it, and when that happens also... There's going to be a price drop
for the price drop for Vita.
Yes. So it's going to come out this year for 14, price drop and bundle. It's kind of a 3-point prediction.
Released this year. Here with price drop. And it'll sell well? Is that what you said?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I think it's going to sell well.
I don't know. I'm worried about that game on Vita. I'll buy it. I love it. But I'm worried that it's going to be coming out so far removed from Borderlands 2's initial craze that it'll
I feel
not
that game
be
has
quite
such
as strong.
Such a strong following nowadays from after the first and second game.
It also depends on how much content will be shared between the Vita and the PlayStation 3 version.
Well, with Gearbox software, I know how much new content they like to make,
right?
And especially with that's their baby now.
It's amazing how much content they put out for this game.
I think that with the Vita version, there's gonna be a lot of exclusive content.
Okay.
I mean, it's gonna be the second game, of course, but there's gonna be a lot of exclusive content. Now the graphics are definitely toned down a little bit so they can fit everything, but they're gonna have constant patches and updates for it, not to mention DLC that might be exclusive for the Vita as well, because right now it's multi-platform and the Vita is only PlayStation, so there's definitely gonna be exclusive content. But that's my prediction. I might be wrong, I might be right. Who knows? But
okay.
It's a prediction. You have to make two. That's going to be your second and third one. Back to me and then Dran.
Let's see. If I'm going to make one more gaming related one, I'm going to say, man, I wish I could think of another.
I thought you were going to say something about PlayStation Now. I was going to bring that up, but we didn't have time.
We didn't have time for that. That would have been a later one. Okay. I think that Infamous Second Son is going to sell more copies than Titanfall sells on the Xbox One.
Infamous?
Because Titanfall is coming out on multiple systems.
I would honestly compare it more to Destiny, but I mean, it's your prediction.
I was trying to do like the exclusive titles because traditionally Microsoft stuff has sold sold better, and those would be like the two most like hyped system sellers that are coming up.
Maybe I could challenge. So
I know
your
it's like
prediction.
Different genres and everything, but I think that for the first time, Sony series is going to sell better than the mic. Well,
I kind of honestly want to challenge that and kind of go a step further. Say like that Watch Dogs, like a multi-platform game.
Yeah,
I want to say it's going to sell better on PS4 than it is on Xbox One.
That's a good. The multi-platforms will sell better on the PS4. That's a good one.
How about this? I'll say two. The majority of multi-platform games for 2014 are going to sell better on PS4 than the Xbox One.
Is that your?
That'll be my third one.
Okay.
Nice.
I got to try.
Better.
Let me just drop the mic.
Hey, Mile! I'm going to make a bold one.
Get ready for it.
You ready for this?
Hang on one second.
When Matt has to give us his.
Unless
Matt wants some more time.
Go ahead. I'm writing down my last one that I just said about Infamous selling better than.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
I want to say
that. Because it'll be the third in a series versus a brand new IP. So, I mean, that kind of favors Infamous anyways, but we'll see. I wish that there was something a little more close. Like, I wish there was another good high-quality first-person shooter coming out this year, but I don't think there is anything on the horizon this year.
Turn over the paper. I'm not sure if you can read my hand.
No, not really. Nothing that's...
they're all multi-platform.
Oh, The Division got pushed.
Yeah.
That's the other one I was thinking of. Watch Dogs and The Division got bumped. Okay, go ahead, Tran. What's your third prediction?
You ready for this?
I'm ready, man. Give it to me hard.
Gross.
That's terrible. Don't ever say that, please.
All right, give it to me rough.
Don't say that either.
I'm just kidding. All right, man, tell me your predictions.
This is where my story ends.
Godzilla.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
Is coming out this year.
Oh, yeah.
I predict that movie's going to be awesome.
That movie is going to be awesome. I love Godzilla movies.
I like it. Don't love all Godzilla movies. I don't like American crappy 90s remake.
That movie was
versions.
Awesome.
No, it wasn't.
That movie was awesome.
No, that movie was
terrible. That movie was great.
Have you watched it any time in the past like 5 years?
Yes, I watched it about 3 months ago.
So bad. There's something wrong with you.
The problem.
How did you feel about Transformers Dark?
There's nothing
the
wrong
moon.
With me.
Right?
Yeah, that was actually one of my first reviews for my website.
Dark of the Moon was a pretty good one.
All right, well, I'm just going to
come from the guy who actually just put him down earlier in the conversation.
No. I could fill up an entire podcast. We'll have to talk about movie franchises at one point.
We'll have to make that a new
section. We can bring up Die Hard, Short Fallings. We can bring up Transformers, and we'll bring up something else.
We'll call that Back in Time.
We can talk about The Matrix. I could spend about 2 hours talking
about Fair enough.
About
we can talk trilogy. About The Matrix
we'll talk.
Lot.
We'll call that section Back in Time for our next podcast, and we'll go to a really older movie, and we'll talk about it.
Okay. But Godzilla's, I think...
That was a great movie.
They are showing enough... The new Godzilla movie, I think they are showing enough respect, even just in making him look like the way he should, that it actually has a chance.
Yeah.
So we will see what happens there.
So you think it's going to be a huge success?
I don't know if it'll be a huge success as far as...
Do you want to do Rotten Tomatoes again? Or
No, I honestly, just as a Godzilla fan, if you can walk away liking that movie... Then I think it's a success.
You're going to hear more good things than bad things, pretty much.
I don't know, because a lot of people are really divided on Godzilla movies to begin with.
Hey.
So.
Jack. Hey.
But no, I mean, I think Godzilla fans will like that movie.
I'm excited for it. I think I'm going to like it no matter what. But I liked Cloverfield, and I liked, you know.
I liked Cloverfield.
I liked, what was that one that where the robots fight?
Oh my God, really? Pacific Rim?
Yeah. That wasn't bad.
No, but you know, Pacific Rim wasn't
amazing, terrible. But it wasn't bad. No,
the content was really stupid, but it was fun. It was a fun movie to
watch. Exactly, and that's why I am the way I am with movies. I'm like, I really see the bottom line. Is it entertaining for me to watch?
Yeah.
When I first saw it. Not like, was it entertaining for me 5 years after when it came out? No, I'm doing evaluations to it 5 years. Right when I saw it, was it entertaining to me? But... go ahead.
Let's see.
That's a good prediction.
That is a really good prediction.
I thought you were going to say, like, the Godzilla is going to sell better than the Hobbit threequel. Yeah, something like that.
Stupid Hobbit.
I actually liked the second one.
That's another series we could talk about.
The second one wasn't bad. The cliffhanger was too big at the end. But, I mean, everyone knows what happens.
Damn. I wish I could think of another really good one. Another good prediction. I only have two written down for me.
Yeah.
I have four written down for you since you predicted that Taryn's
going to
be a 10,000-aire.
Do you want to make a prediction about your trophy level or anything like that? Or make a prediction about like a goal? Or do you want to make a prediction about me or Tran at a race or you at a race? Or you want to make a prediction of... It can be anything.
Yeah, I know. That's the problem is it's like too big a scope.
You going to have another baby?
No.
I will predict I will not have another baby.
that is a no.
I'm going to predict that Taryn's going to move this year.
Wow.
Bold prediction. That's easy money right there.
I haven't told you what you get if you win all the predictions.
To help you move? We get fed when we help you move? What is it?
I'm not going to tell you until next year.
Crap. I can't think. Man, I hate to do it, but
my prediction is that there's going
to
be an episode 6.
That's a dicey prediction right in itself. I think this year at E3, Sony's going to be coming in very hot.
Yeah, they'll be there.
There's going to be a lot of hype around them just because there's a lot of good press and momentum going. I think that something that they announce probably around with PlayStation Live, PlayStation Now. I think PlayStation Now, there's going to be something about it that's going to seriously derail the happy train that's going on with Sony this year. Like, part of it's just like the jaded gamer in me that I'm waiting for that other shoe to drop that, like, Sony always has like these really good intentions, but that don't fall. They just fall through at the end.
The banana in front of your go-kart.
Yes, exactly. They're going to get blue-shelled. It's going
to
be...
Why does there have to be something bad, man? All good things must come to an end.
I would love it. No, I don't
know.
Enjoy
it while it lasts.
I'm not used to them having this much success. Jeez, it's been a long time.
I'm depressed now.
Hey, I said that the Infamous was going to sell better than an Xbox
game. Yeah, I know. I'm just saying that, like, it's very interesting opinion, and I think that you're really trying to look at the other side of the picture, but it is expected. Like, they are due for some bad news.
I think if they can make it through this E3 with another, like, with no...
win.
With anything, yeah. I think we're going to see another PS2 era of Sony. I think it's going to be a very high market penetration, and I think we're going to see a lot of high-quality games coming out for years to come.
That's what I want to hear.
But I think that there's going to be something at this year's E3 that's going to derail the train, that they're not going to see coming until it happens, and then there's going to be a decent amount of PR fallout on it.
Jeez. Interesting.
Yeah, I know. Gloomy Gus for the last prediction. Sorry.
That's cool.
Since this is the only part that I really prepared for, what was your favorite movie of 2013?
I don't remember. I didn't get to see
that
whole lot.
I didn't see that many movies last year either.
Honestly, I rented a lot from Redbox and edited one when they came out. I did like The Hobbit too. I mean, I didn't really like the first one that much, but it surprised me.
Apparently, nobody liked the first one.
Yeah, the first one wasn't that great. I mean, it was the first Lord of the Rings. Everyone liked.
How dare you?
I like the Two Towers the most out of all of them.
Really? Yeah, Two Towers is my favorite too. Mm-hmm. A lot more action.
I like the first one.
Me, mindless man, need entertainment and blood.
I saw Gravity. Gravity was good. That was definitely a heart pounding racer.
He's going with the critic's choice.
Is that the one that won?
No, but, well, I don't know. I don't know what it did.
We're going to discuss that some more, guys. We're actually going to discuss on the next podcast. This one's way too long already. But I'll make sure you guys are more prepared next time, because I kind of just told you this morning what we're going to be talking about. But anyways, all right, guys, so we're going to wrap this up. I hope you enjoy this episode of 2013 review, and looking forward to the future of 2014. Again, my name is Taryn, and you can always follow me at Augie272. You can always listen to our podcast on the website, TarynTheHype.com, and always follow us on Twitter at TarynTheHype. Now, we also have a Facebook page, and I have to tell you guys congratulations. I wanted to get past at least 25 followers on Facebook. We are now at 32 viewers on Facebook.
Ooh, so big time.
32 people following us on Facebook.
Groundbreaking.
That's just our fan page. Now, I don't think we have something on Twitter, but you guys go out there and start liking us, listen to our stuff. I post everything, forward it from our website, or my blog, and we have new reviews out there. We're going to have more podcasts. I'm going to be doing some single video reviews myself, I mean, because I just want to put more content out there. And hopefully, you know, with your guys' help, maybe we can make this website really productive, and maybe start doing some outbound research to, you know, E3 maybe, or maybe some different places to go to and get some great news. So follow us at Taryn the Hype on Twitter, Facebook, and the website TarynTheHype.com. Again, I'm Taryn with my partner in crime, Matt.
Yep, yep. You can follow me at CurlinFlip337 on Twitter.
And you can follow our special guest, Tran Gutierrez, on...
at Overhand Rider.
On Twitter. Now, guys, I do appreciate you guys coming out. And
do you want me to go through the list one more time, just so we can do like a quick fire of all of our predictions, or
be
no?
My guess. So, guys, these are our predictions of 2014. What's going to happen? We each made three predictions, and you were in for a ride next year.
All right. So, let's start off. I'll just read them all off. Taryn has said that Metal Gear Solid 5, the prologue, will sell better than the actual Metal Gear Solid 5. That'll be an interesting. That's kind of a long haul bet, because we'll have to wait till see how Metal Gear Solid 5 comes out.
That's my strategy.
Taryn says that Borderlands 2 on the Vita will release this year with a price drop for the Vita, and it will sell very well. I really hope that that one actually plays out this year. And Taryn's last prediction is that multi-platform games will be better selling on PlayStation 4 than they are on the Xbox One. Mm-hmm. It's a very interesting choice and very bold choice.
I try to be bold in all of them, but what can I say?
Trans predictions?
I changed my prediction.
No.
I changed my prediction for the UFC Fight Pass. It will be very successful. I changed my mind. I'm choosing to be positive. Jeez. It will be very successful.
Well, I'm proud of you for going from negative Nancy to positive Peter.
They'll fix the bugs.
It'll
be fine.
I hate bugs.
Trans started off very controversial with the highest grossing 2014 movies will be lower than 60% on Rotten Tomatoes.
That, I'm looking forward to see how that turns
out. That will be an interesting dice roll. The UFC pass will be very successful, as we recently found out. And we also got that the 2014 version of Godzilla will be awesome. But apparently it will not score below or above a 60% unless it does very poorly. So either it's going to bomb or it's going to be bad.
No, I'm not saying it's going to be the most successful movie of the year.
It's going to be amazing, but Rotten Tomatoes is going to rate up bad. So.
Fair enough.
Really, I'm the only one who can judge that, so I'll let you know how I do.
I should just like mirrored one of your bets and be like, well, a game is going to be on Metacritic. Low, low.
That's all right. I have a very similar... with your Godzilla in that.
So what are yours?
All right, Spider-Man, the new one coming out this year, it will be critically panned, but I will still enjoy it. Let's see, next one. Oh, way down here. Infamous Second Son is going to be selling better than Titanfall does on the Xbox One, because I want to make sure it's specific to just that console, because that's the one that they've been pushing it on. And final bet, E3 Sony conference, we will see the end of the happy train. And something is going to happen. I specifically think of around PlayStation Now and that service. I really hope I'm wrong on that one, though. I really want to be wrong on that. I would love to see Sony come back to form.
And they've done a great job so far.
Yeah, I'm just nervous.
But don't worry, guys. There's a lot more news coming for you guys soon. We are going to be doing more shows soon. Or if everyone can't get together, and I will be definitely doing some stuff by myself. It may not be as high quality as what you hear now on the top quality audio from the peripherals that we have with Matt Marquez.
I'm tired.
I'll say about all hardware. The hardware we have with Matt. I do appreciate that. Sponsored by
Matt
Marquez. What was it your nickname that we made? Catch You on the Flip Side.
Catch Me on the Flip Side.
Catch You on the Flip Side Productions. Well, anyway, guys, again, this has been an episode of Tearing the Hype podcast. Please join us in at tearingthehype.com and read all the reviews you can. Give me some comments on Facebook, the Twitters, you know, send me some messages, whatever you can.
Do we have an email address?
We do. It's tearingthehype@gmail.com.
There we go.
It's on all of our pages. You can click right in the top left link of the website and even have a YouTube channel. So you guys go ahead and do whatever you want. There's something for everybody there. Play with us online. We have our usernames on there as well for our profiles. And just you have a good one and enjoy it while it lasts.